Hello and welcome to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and it's such a joy to be here with you tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. Tonight, we are talking about the medicine of the future that's actually here now. My guest underwent a very powerful near-death experience, which we will find out about, that shifted his consciousness from a three-dimensional to a multi-dimensional perception of reality and understanding. And from this experience, Dr. Jerry Rivera do Genio, he created the Rasha. It is a morphogenic scalar plasma technology based on 12 resonant frequencies that send a type of algorithm to the cell that bring balance back to the body. We are going to talk all about this. But first, I want to hear about Dr. Jerry's experiences and his NDE. So we will be right back. I'm Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and I am looking forward to this conversation tonight with Dr. Jerry Rivera do Genio. He went a great, powerful near-death experience, and it shifted his consciousness. I met Dr. Jerry about a week ago for the first time, and he introduced me to this incredible technology called the Rasha. We're going to find out all about it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jerry.
Hi, Lisa. Can you hear me?
I absolutely can. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Great, great. So I want to find out all about this. I saw you speak, and I didn't get a chance to really have an in-depth conversation with you, other than you piqued my curiosity with the Rasha and the technology. And so I wanted to ask you, how did you tell me about this NDE, and was that experience where you discovered this type of technology, or did it come out of that experience?
Well, the NDE was a result of a trauma that I experienced as a child at 9, and that trauma was a sexual abuse trauma. And for most of my adult life, I didn't trust anyone. I was having, issues in relationships, and I turned to drugs, and it was a way to escape the physical body. Yeah. So in September of 2000, I went on a 24-hour drug binge, and I died. My heart stopped. I was dead for about 3 to 4 minutes, and in that experience, I was actually uploaded back into what I call the field, the source field, if you will. And in that non-linear, non-time space was when I just had downloads and rememberings of who I was and where I came from, et cetera, et cetera. So when I was resuscitated by my friend at the time, I took that information back with me, sort of like a zip file. But I got to tell you, Lisa, it took many, many years for that zip file to open.
To integrate, absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about because you don't remember it at the time. First of all, when you go through those types of experiences, if it's an NDE or as you went through that overdose experience, it's a trauma. And you're not focused on the incredible, expansive experience that happened in that multidimensional reality. You're recovering from the trauma. And it
Correct.
takes a while for the body to recover.
I did not want to come back. It was so peaceful. It was the ultimate bliss, joy, and freedom, right, from the physical realm. And I really didn't want to come back, to be honest with you. But once information was, let's just say, shared with me, or my consciousness at that time that was running the body prior to 2000 actually left, and parts of me, higher oscillating parts of my consciousness, came in to finish what I came here to do.
Interesting. So almost like a walk-in type of experience.
I call it a walk-in, walk-out.
Walk out first, then walk in.
There you go.
That is so interesting. So do you even identify or have Anything in common with that prior Jerry personality?
That's a great question. At the time when I went through that NDE, and my son at the time was 5, when I saw him a few, like a day or two later, you know what he said to me? He
Oh.
goes, "You're not my dad."
Huh.
So he knew right away that the consciousness was not his father, so to speak. I have cellular memory of the previous consciousness that was running the show, so to speak. But if you were to ask me, do I really, was I an experiential knowing and remembering? I can't say.
Were you a conscious human being?
Pardon?
Were you a conscious human being?
Prior to 2000? I would probably say not. More on the not side.
I've interviewed so many people with NDEs, not as many as Dr. Raymond Moody, but I did a whole series on it and so forth, and I found that the through line is this incredible cracking open of consciousness into, I don't, it's either called a different reality, a different dimension, much, much higher dimension, or it could have something to do with the lapse in the brain if you want to get to the physical part of it. And it's all of the above. For a while, I was trying to figure out which one is it, but I learned it's all of them. But rarely do I find anyone that ever wants to come back. They choose to, at a certain point, unconsciously come back, but that experience is so expansive and seamless and boundaryless.
And when you, you went through an NDE, those that went through NDE and then have full memory as if it happened like
Yesterday.
yesterday, right? When you have that and you experience yourself as pure energy and consciousness, everything else shifts. Your perspective on life shifts. I spent the better part of 5 years just studying and seeking and going through every esoteric religion and knowledge and teaching to see which one really was telling the truth. So, it's just a shift in the way your consciousness perceives reality.
And you can't unsee it and you can't unthink it. It
Correct.
always exists. And everything that you do, you measure up against it. And that's why it makes life so interesting afterwards. And just, for anyone who has not had an NDE, this you've probably had these experiences as well as where you feel outside of time, where you're in the zone, or you feel that you're in a time slows down, or you're in a heightened state of play or a runner's high or whatever you call it. It's just something that is above, and this is where I was hoping you could explain these dimensions. So you say that there's about 15 dimensions, or this is maybe the field of physics that you studied. If you could explain that to us and how it relates to what you experienced.
I'd say from, at 2000 after the NDE to about 2007, I was studying, all the esoteric religions. And in 2007, from 2007 to 2011, I was part of a private experiential group that taught scalar energy techniques and technologies for consciousness expansion. So, do you remember, or I'm sure you were familiar with the Stanford Research Institute and their remote viewing project? And have you ever heard of the California Life Physics Group that was headed by the late H.R.
Yes.
Wright?
Yes.
So, this
Yes.
group was just the quality of the information was so sophisticated, it made those two groups look like they were kindergarten.
Wow.
And it was within these type of, and when I say, remote viewing, we were taught dark matter body traveling versus everyone talks about astral traveling, right? But astral traveling has to do with the light body. We're talking about taking your dark matter body, which people don't even know they have. And any physicist that tells you that dark matter, dark energy doesn't exist, they just have no idea of the true reality of nature. It was during these years where the download, actually the zip file unloaded in my fields, where the better understanding of the dimensions came to play. So there are physicists now that are talking about 12 dimensions, 10 dimensions, but in my experiential knowledge, there are 15 dimensions of reality in this time matrix, but there are countless number of matrices. Are you with me? So, yeah, so if we live in, let's say, dimension three, right? Three dimensions of reality, there are, a lot more other dimensions, let's just say 9 to 15 dimensions higher that exist in this matrix.
And in those dimensions is where this unified field physics is, where you talk about, and you, by the way, Dr. Jerry has his PhD in natural medicine and in currently in genetics and genomics from Stanford University. So you have these different, and I love how we're talking about this because it equates to the NDE in a way. You could explain an NDE, it would be like hitting some of these dimensions. Now it's not like they're marked 13, 14, 15, but they are experienced by the dark matter is a good way of explaining it because you go further and further and further out, and it does the experience gets more and more and more expansive.
Correct. These dimensions, they come in sets of three. Okay, so there are actually five densities that each have three dimensions each in them. Okay, and in each one of those densities or dimensions, there are parts of our consciousness stationed at those levels. Are you with me? And dark matter is the, let's just say, dark matter and scalar energy, which we will get into later, that is the primal substance of the cosmos. And what mathematicians currently and current physicists, when they start describing or they talk about scalar and dark matter, they're talking about less than 1% of really what it actually is. So, I was lucky enough to experience, the field, if you will, and to experience something like that and then come back into reality it's an eye-opening experience because you get to see how much disinformation is shared at the university level.
Do you constantly want to recreate that experience without having to go through the trauma?
Well, I don't have to recreate it, Lisa. I just it's almost like a moving meditation where I just close my eyes, or I don't have to close my eyes. I just
Tap into it.
feel, yeah, I feel sense of that experience, and it's as if it happened yesterday.
Yep, I totally understand. So, scalar waves. So, you ex explain what a scalar rate wave is and how you incorporated that into the Rasha. How did that idea come to you?
Okay, so first, let's go back to the beginning first, and let's talk about the primal substance of the universe. And the cosmos is basically made of one primary particle, which I call the original source particle. Many physicists and quantum physicists, they call it the God particle. I mean, but it's a misnomer and it's erroneous. And this source particle is a spherical, neutral, nonpolar unit of energy substance that has the potential to hold an electric or a magnetic charge. So it's literally a spherical, omnipolar energy sphere. Now, scalar energy is burst out of this source particle. And scalar energy It's, well, not nothing more. It is literally a perpetual fission fusion generator. So as it expands, it is light. As it contracts, it is sound. As it expands, it's electric. As it contracts, it's magnetic. So scalar energy is the potential for electric or magnetic energy. And it's not just energy, it's energy plus information.
So the scalar and the scalar is both sound and light.
Has the potential to be both.
Potential to be both. Okay.
So let's just say Nikola Tesla, who many of your listeners know, when he was working on his experiments, he mostly worked with the electrical part of the scalar field. There is a professor, Dr. Konstantin Mile from Germany, who's considered the new Tesla. He works with the magnetic portion of the scalar field. And both are correct. And when we, with our scalar technology with the Rasha, we work with both.
Now, is the Rasha, it's the base of it is the Rife technology, right? Where you, I mean, is that what the foundation of the Rasha is?
No, the foundation of the Rasha is a few parts. One, it is the patented scalar coils that are made by our coil engineers, Daniel and Erica Nunez of One Stop Energies. So that's the key, because those coils hold a different mathematical ratio than most coils. There are a lot of other coils out there, the roding coils, flat coils, but they are not based on the source, spiral, or eternal life ratio mathematics or base 12 mathematics. That's the first thing. The second thing is our software. Our software is created by our software engineer, Brian Zeleniak of Biztronics, and he has created a base 12 software, Rife, but not just Rife, Lisa. It's Rife and other resonant frequencies that are in our software. And then it's the plasma gas mixes that really, really make our technology unique. And there are a lot of technologies out there, as you know, that perhaps claim they are scalar. Okay? And I'm sure they work to a certain degree. So, but none of them have what I just explained.
That is fascinating. Now, the Rife technology, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard about Royal Raymond Rife, and he created this these types of frequencies around different either organs or disease. Everything has a frequency, and then he
Correct.
coded these frequencies, and then it matches the body matches to it and then restores balance is just the basic concept of the Rife. And so you took this as a small part of it, created the software, and then added the scalar and the plasma gas. This is fascinating. Okay, I want to give my audience a wonderful chance to take a look at the website so you can see what this device looks like. It's a beautiful contraption. It is really pretty. It's at therasha.com, therasha.com. And Doctor, this is Dr. Terry's website, and you can see the Rasha. It's mind, body, spirit technology. We're going to talk about why this really is a consciousness raising device, but it has, of course, so much more to do than that. It's a lot of fun. And then how you put all this together based on it was it because of the NDE or was it after the NDE that you came up with the formula to put all the technologies together?
Well, it was because and due to the NDE that I was able to download the information.
Right, and then you had to recall it.
Well, it was always in my fields. The information is there, so it was always there from that after the NDE. Yes. So, but it took many, many years for my DNA to actually be prepared to actually decipher and download the information. So the information was there, but, you know, to be honest with you, only maybe in, I'd say, let's just say 2013 or 2014 is when it all came together. And I, to be honest with you, Lisa, I didn't even know what was going on.
Now that I want to learn about. We have to take a quick break, Jerry, and we'll be right back. And we'll talk more about the morphogenic field and how it all comes together. So much more to find out. All right, I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr, and my desk guest is Dr. Jerry Rivera Dugiano. And we are talking about the Rasha technology and different this patented type of scalar technology that is in the Rasha. But I was going to ask you, Dr. Jerry, why did you come up with a technology like this? What's the need for something like this?
Right. So because of the NDE, Lisa, I got to experience our true nature as consciousness. Now, for me, consciousness is the foundation of healing. And, you know, I didn't share with your listeners when I was rushed to the ER and they took blood and urine samples to find out what drugs I had taken that 24-hour period. When I came back, there was no drugs or toxins found in my body. Are you with me? So that experience alone propelled me into figuring out, first of all, what happened, okay, in that experience. Second of all, why we die. Why do we die? And why do we only live to under 100 years, right? Mm. So this all spurred the whole entire Rasha technology because, one, I wanted to replicate my NDE results. Like, what had happened? Why was there no drugs in my body? Why was I different? You know, these are the questions mm-hmm. that I wanted to let's say explore. So the technology really is a result of all of that. And, you know, consciousness for me is everything, right? And most people, yeah, they meditate, et cetera, et cetera. But if you can really expand your consciousness and really tap into the 98% of what science calls the junk DNA or introns, many, many things can happen, and your body can reclaim its ability to not only heal itself, Lisa, but to actually be able to manifest and materialize things.
I understand this from a different perspective. I really do. But from my NDE, I understand what you mean by being able to manifest and experience all things at the same time, because nothing is separate, really. But let's back up to why do we die. Do you feel that once we're born, our body is just constantly in a state of fight or flight, no matter how pure or clean we try to live, that we're constantly just combating the elements? And maybe that's why we make it, you know, barely to 90 years old these days, or 80 years old, because we are just constantly fighting. What would it be like if we didn't have that, if we didn't have to fight, our body didn't have to fight the constant barrage of toxins, and our life was, or our cells, everything just kept regenerating and regenerating and regenerating? I wonder how long we would live.
Well, that's a great question. You know, in the Bible, they talked about beings 800 to 1,000 years old, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
In the ancient Sumerian cuneiform text, they're talking about beings living 30,000 to 50,000 years. Mm. So let's just say, you know, 10% of that's true. You know, you're living a very long time. But what most doctors or healers, et cetera, you know, and what they don't what they fail to realize is, in order to truly know how the body heals, you must first know how and why the body dies. And granted, our body is an unbelievable biochemical machine, you know? It's run by biological chemical reactions. But people forget that consciousness and energy comes first. That is the first, that there would be no matter without consciousness and energy. So to first see how the body heals and why the body dies from an energy perspective is paramount to figure out why the body dies. And yes, there's epigenetic factors, there's you know, lack of nutrition, there's electromagnetic smog and all that radiation, but in essence, why we die, humans die, we die because there are specific electromagnetic mutations in the DNA, in our DNA, and lo and behold, the water in our body is toxic and poisonous.
Before or after birth? I mean, I guess I could say it that way. When our DNA is formed, that's when it's toxic?
You mean the water?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
How?
Well, I don't want to really get too much into chemistry, but it really, really has to do with an element that's called deuterium. It's known as heavy hydrogen. And there are very high levels of deuterium in the waters in our body, as well as the waters on our planet. And by lowering the deuterium levels in our body, we automatically start living longer, as per over 50 to 60 years of Russian research on this.
Wow.
And if many of your listeners do not know this, they will. And it's called deuterium depleted water. And in our body, we have high levels. Let's just say we have 150 to 155 parts per million of deuterium in our body. Okay? Now, if you lower those deuterium levels to say, let's just say 100 and 103, what happens is the ATP, the mitochondrial, mm-hmm. the way that our cells create energy resets, and it begins to perform at its optimum capacity. And when this happens, all the other systems in our body reset, and we start actually living as
we should.
Yeah,
originally
exactly.
Designed to live.
Correct.
So in your questioning, how does the body die, you discovered this toxin that's in our water, in our planet, in our bodies before we're even born, and then throughout our lifetime builds up and builds up and builds up. If in the absence of this, we would regenerate over and over and over again and live a lot longer, how do you get this deuterium out of your body?
Well,
can you?
Yes, you can. There are several ways. One is to adopt, let's just say, a lifestyle that's conducive to lowering your deuterium levels. So that means, you know, eating cleaner, sun gazing, grounding. These are very important aspects to lowering the deuterium in your body. It's drinking deuterium depleted water, right? It is adopting a diet that is more clean, ketogenic diet, right? Replacing carbs and grains with greens and animal and plant fats and above the ground vegetables, things of that nature. These lower the deuterium levels in our body.
Is the deuterium depleted water like a 9.0, or is it something different? What does that mean?
When you say 9.0, what do you mean?
pH.
I won't rabbit hole. Yeah, I'm not going to get into the pH because that unfortunately is a myth, and I won't get into that. But you know, we have a mutual friend that wanted to say hello. Do you know or remember Robert Slovak?
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay. From so Robert is mm-hmm. my best friend, and he's one of my mentors. And he's the one that actually, shared with me this whole deuterium issue that we have. And then our colleague, Victor Sagalovsky, brought to my attention that, in certain writings, right, like certain books, primarily books by Edward Billy Meyer and Wes Bateman, in 1975, they talked about, why humans die. They were talking or interviewing certain extraterrestrial beings, and they said, back in 1975 and 1993, that humans die because of one of the reasons, high levels of deuterium in our body. Crazy.
Yeah. So we won't go down the pH slope at this point, but there is a lot to be said about the deuterium depleted water being the water that's high in nutrient.
Deuterium,
Yeah, okay.
deuterium, correct. So
Okay.
think of it like this. Think of it like this, Lisa. And Robert explained it to me very simply. Imagine you woke up tomorrow and you were twice as heavy as you are today, twice as heavy. So I'm about 160 pounds, okay, soaking wet. If I woke up tomorrow at, let's just say, 220, don't you think my body would have a little bit of a challenge
Moving.
functioning? Right.
Yes.
So it's the same thing with deuterium and our cells, because the deuterium actually causes like a jam. It actually clogs this what's called ATP nanomotors. It's like throwing a wrench in a turbine, right? When you remove the deuterium, you're removing that wrench or that blockage. So it allows the body and the cells to actually, function at its optimum.
Makes sense. So I originally had asked you, why do we die? And why did you, cr well, I actually really asked you, why did you create the Rasha? And you said, you went into why do we die? You found all these different toxins in our lifestyle, in our water, in our body. This is why you created the Rasha, is to bring our body back to its innate sense of balance.
The Rasha was created to first expand the person's consciousness. Second is to help the body reclaim its innate natural ability to heal itself. And how does the Rasha do that? Because we use the magnetic vector of the scalar field to communicate with our introns, or our what science calls junk DNA. I call it, or a friend of mine, Andy Basiago, and I call it potential DNA. When we can communicate with our potential DNA or introns, we can actually reset the body so that the body begins to heal itself. And the deuterium is part of it. The reversing the energetic mutations in our DNA has a lot to do with it, and the Rasha is key because it reprograms the introns. It talks to our DNA and says, guess what? We're just going to give you this information. You do what you want with it. You turn on certain genomes on and off, but the body consciousness knows 1,000 times better than any doctor or clinic.
Yes, because it was originally created
Correct.
through consciousness, and energy comes first. Then the
Correct.
DNA is formed based on that consciousness and energy.
Yes.
This, I mean, it makes perfect sense. This has been done before, not specifically the Rasha, but the Rife technology was created, what, back in the early 1900s, and before that.
Yeah, around the 30s, but obviously he was shut down by the AMA, but there is a lot of Russian research that's available if your listeners want to do, their due diligence and research. There's a lot of Russian research out there. Primarily, there's an experiment called the Koznishev experiment, which have to do with using specific frequencies to actually reverse diseased cells back to its normal healthy state.
Wow. And so that's basically is what you're doing. So if there is a mutated gene or a cancer cell, what this does, what this type of technology does is it takes the resonant frequency of the cell and it shows it back to the body so that the body will match it again.
Well, there are pathogens in our body, and what scalar does to pathogens, okay, the scalar has an ability to disassemble pathogens,
Wow.
okay, which are the let's just say the destroyers of the body. And it does it by using reverse phase angle harmonic frequencies of that said pathology or pathogen. And these reverse phase angle harmonic frequencies will instruct the fungus or the candida inside a human being to disassemble into a simpler elemental form such as carbon, iron, magnesium, oxygen, etc., etc. And it leaves the healthy cell alone.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Huh. Wow. And so then that disassembles and eventually you can eliminate it from the body. And so then more of the healthy cells regenerate. Wow. It seems so simple, which is why you're able to explain it to someone like me who's not a scientist. But I'm getting, I think I'm getting this, but there's a lot of material and so forth on the website, which is therasha.com. There's research, and you've written lots and lots of peer-reviewed papers on this, and the material is definitely there. And there are places also that you can experience this technology. There's one in LA, the Q360 Club, and
Correct.
you can check that one out and Q360club.com. And when we come back, we're going to find out more information on how the Rasha technology can actually lengthen telomeres, which then we haven't even talked about the anti-aging and age reversal process here, but we're going to talk about that when we come back because that's super fascinating to me. When we come back with Dr. Jerry, I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.